Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Now, nicotine pouches are being aggressively marketed to adolescents and young people while regulation in many countries remained limited or absent. That's according to the first WHO global report on nicotine pouches to be published today. Well, Professor John Crown is consultant at St Vincent Hospital Group and he joins me on the line now. Good morning to you, John. Those nicotine pouches, those small white sachets that people place between their gum and lip, they contain nicotine, right? And flavourings and sweeteners, but no tobacco leaf. And brands really market them, don't they, as these sort of clean, discreet, smoke-free products. And I think that's the perception of them in the public. Is it the truth?
No, Ciara, it's not. I mean, clearly they're much less harmful than smoking and less harmful than actual oral tobacco use. But they still have harms. The major harm that I would see it is the development of nicotine addiction, which is a very real phenomenon. And as people get older, the easiest way to sate their nicotine addiction is to buy cigarettes. So we really don't want a product coming on the market which is going to cultivate a whole new generation of nicotine addicts. As well as that, the pouches themselves are not harmless. They do cause dental problems, gum problems. And in addition, nicotine is not good for you. Nicotine can cause a number of circulatory issues. It can cause a number of nervous system issues. This is not a good product to be taking. It does not have any medicinal use. And I'm very strongly in favour of regulating it to within an inch of its life. In fact, regulating it past its life.
Less harmful, then, is the takeaway from this. Less harmful doesn't actually mean that these products are safe. And the branding that I talked about there at the beginning, that is surely a major part of the appeal to younger users.
Well, why should we look at a hierarchy of harm and tell young people, yes, we would like you to do something harmful. We acknowledge there are other things which are more harmful. It's, you know, a bit like saying, please get into your car and, you know, drink, drive, but wear your seatbelt. It's less harmful if your seatbelt is on. I mean, this is complete out and out marketing, trying to develop addicts, trying to develop a new generation of people to replace the smokers who are dying from smoking related illnesses. The tobacco industries, the nicotine industry is heavily trying to think of ways to replace the people that their product, when used exactly as recommended by the manufacturer, leads to death.
And Micheál Martin has said in recent months that he needs to get tough again on tobacco, and there is legislation now to ban the sale of these pouches to the under 18s, which is probably too late for those who already are addicted to them. But the WHO makes clear in this report that regulation is really lagging behind the marketing here. What other gaps need to be closed, in your opinion, John?
Well, I think regulation, much and all is, I have a distaste for regulation in certain areas, but I mean, for a product which is as manifestly harmful and utterly useless as tobacco, I think regulation to the point of extinction is what we really need. I think it's entirely justifiable.
So an outright ban on these products and all tobacco-related products.
My only ambition for the tobacco industry is bankruptcy. That's what I'd like to see happening to them. So is the right way to do it to have an outright ban? I personally believe, if you look at it critically, and I suspect I'd need a constitutional lawyer to look at it, I suspect it would be very hard to justify a right to sell addictive carcinogens, especially to children. I can understand that there may be a right to smoke in the privacy of your own home if that's what you wish to do, but I'm not sure that there is any right enshrined in business law that says, yes, you have a right to manufacture something, which some people want because they're addicts, which is undoubtedly incredibly harmful, which has no benefits, but which makes you a lot of money. And I think if you look critically at it, the way to tackle it is to tackle the industry, not to tackle the smokers. We've done quite a bit, and Micheál Martin deserves great credit for this, we've done quite a bit to curtail consumption, you know, in terms of where you can smoke, where you cannot smoke, limiting access to minors, etc. This is all very positive, but I do think we do need to tackle the industry directly and say, you actually, you know, guys, you don't actually have a right to do this. You know, we could end your right to make and sell this stuff tomorrow by law. And I personally would prefer that route to the very interesting route, which is being followed in some countries where they're proposing to have a rolling age ban on smoking, that they're picking an age and saying anybody born after that age will not be allowed to buy tobacco. And then as the decades pass, we will, you know, reach a stage where no one is allowed to buy tobacco. That's, I think, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for that. But I think tackling the industry would be better.
I just want to ask you about another report that's in our papers this morning. It is research that links obesity in your 20s with an increased risk of cancer. And it's the extent of the increase that has really caught our eye this morning. So you are 5 times more likely to develop cancer if you have to deal with obesity in that age.
Well, that's true. And again, it's incredibly interesting. And I think we should, you know, look at the way the statistics work on this. I don't think it means, globally. If we look at the population in general, where maybe a quarter of people will get cancer, that, you know, everybody will get it if they're obese. But certainly for individual cancers, it increases astronomically. And in some cancers like pancreas cancer and liver cancer, it goes up. And these are cancers which have been increasing now for a long time. Bowel cancer for older people, older women, breast cancer. We've known for a long time that being obese had many, many health consequences, mainly around the areas of cardiovascular, heart attack, stroke, and also things like, you know, complications of diabetes. But there has been this growing literature, which at a very kind of fundamental scientific level shows that there are relationships between obesity, excessive inflammation in the system, the overproduction of certain hormones, which are known to be pro-cancer forming, like estrogen and insulin-like growth factor, that these are increased in people that are obese. And I think that, you know, the clinical data, the actual patient data, is now coming in very strongly, that mm-hmm. after smoking, and in some cases alcohol, and of course for skin cancer, sunlight, if you look at them, the other one that we really need to elevate into the, you know, avoidable causes of cancer is obesity. And I think we do need to look critically at prevention. You know,
okay.
Some amazing things have happened, Kira, in the last couple of years with cancer treatment. I mean, unbelievable stuff. And there was a huge breakthrough just this year in pancreatic cancer, a lot of it led by a wonderful young Irish doctor called Eileen O'Reilly in New York. But all of these treatments, you know, they do improve things a bit marginally sometimes. It would be so much better if we could prevent cancer in the first place. We know what we can do if we stop smoking. I think we now need to tackle obesity as well.
John Crown, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.